We'll say good evening to you and very welcome to the Thursday night of the Bible Conference. We're going to make a start and sing this great hymn this evening, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Last verse again without the music. We like to do it a cappella from time to time, and then we'll ask our clerk of session, Phil, if you'll come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. When we have been there 10,000 years.
Oh, bow together for prayer. Eternal, most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this amazing grace of which we have been singing this evening. Thank thee for that saving grace when thou didst reveal thyself to sinners such as we. We were engrafted into the true vine and made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the living grace that thou hast given us to follow on after thee, to seek to serve thee with not less than our all. We think, Lord, of that dying grace that one day each of us will be granted by the God of heaven when we'll pass over the great Jordan and hear those blessed words, "Enter in, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for thee from before the foundations of the world." Truly we can say when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less praise to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And so, Lord, we do thank thee for these series of meetings that we've had. We do rejoice that the Spirit of God has moved, that thou hast been pleased to minister unto our souls, to challenge us through thy truth. And we do ask of thee that this evening, as once more we gather together around the precious word of God, that thou wilt undertake for our pastor. We thank thee for his life, for his witness, for his testimony. Lord, we pray that as he stands behind the sacred desk even this evening and opens up the oracles of God and preaches the whole counsel of God, that it might please thee to anoint him anew and endue him with power from on high. Bless him of the Holy Ghost, we pray. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt give us listening ears and understanding hearts. And challenge us. And grant that thou wilt equip us for the days which lie ahead. We do return thanks unto thee for the Lord Jesus, for the one who gave himself for our sins according to the Scriptures. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Lord, we do rejoice for the day and for the hour when we fell in love with the Saviour and we became children of the Most High God. Again, we're very mindful this evening of those unable to be with us. We do think of those laid aside on beds of pain and sickness. We pray that thou wilt draw graciously near. Grant that they might know that underneath and round about the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with the situation in the Ukraine, we pray. Again, Lord, we think of our friends due to travel and be with us. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to give them journeying mercies. Lord, we just look to thee that thou wilt undertake for them and grant that they might be a blessing to us, that we might be a blessing to them, and that the God of heaven might be glorified through it all. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen.
Amen. And everybody says, amen. Never be afraid to say amen now and again. It'll encourage the person that prays or the person that preaches. Used to be in the old days of Methodist preaching, two men would have gone, one preached, one was the exhorter, and so the exhorter sat somewhere in the congregation, usually at the back, and as the preacher was preaching, he would now and again encourage him, he would exhort him, "Preach it, brother, amen," and that encouraged the preacher, and then they swapped over, and their roles were a little bit different. So it's good to see you tonight. Thank you, Phil, for leading us to the throne of grace in prayer. I was going to stand up beside you just to show you what normal is. So that would have been normal. These other nights have been a little bit different. Our brother, Reverend Patrick Baker, he is 6'7". So he's head and shoulders above everybody. that's here, and we're thankful for his ministry. I want to welcome you tonight, and we welcome those that are tuning in on the internet. Very glad to have you. And tomorrow night, our brother is preaching on help from him who lives within, and he'll be coming to Romans chapter 8, and I think it's verse 26 that he'll major on. We will have a love offering, as we normally do on the Friday night. That will be at the door as you leave to encourage the preacher. And then on the Lord's Day at 12 noon, God's unfinished business will be the message. In this overall series of messages, strength for the journey ahead. Now, the two ambulances have arrived safely in Ukraine. That's the two that went out via Donald Fleming. I want to say that because we were getting, was it 2 days ago, we heard of an ambulance that had been hit with a bomb, was blown up, and it came from Wales, and that's where his two ambulances came from. And we sent that picture that was shared with me to Donald, and he got a little bit frustrated for a moment or two. He got in touch with his friends in Ukraine, but it wasn't the ambulances that he sent. This was the handing over. So the pastor there is standing between the two ladies, and we may have sound. We should be able to play the sound. And they're handing over these two ambulances.
Dear sirs, we deeply appreciate your help, because Ukraine now
to the army
is in very hot situation. You all know this, and we all communicate and work with each other. Thank you for help and for your understanding. God is saving us. Thank you.
Ми передаємо ключі, які отримали від водіїв з Англії, передаємо пастору.
Пастор передає людям, які будуть займатися спасінням людей. Хай Господь благословить.
Слава Україні!
I didn't understand any more than you did, but they're very, very glad to get these ambulances. We told you about the businessman and his wife that were converted. They had left Ukraine very distressed. His business had been completely destroyed in the destruction. The tanks that had moved in, and he and his wife and family fled to Timișoara in Romania, and they found a home at Bethany Baptist Church. But they not only found a home, they found Christ. And both of them, a few weeks back, were converted to the Lord. And yesterday I was looking at a video, it's on YouTube, that has been condensed to 50 minutes about these folks coming to Christ, the testimony that they gave, and then their baptism service that took place last Sunday night. I have condensed that down to 5 minutes, and I want to show it to you tonight for your encouragement, that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of war, in the midst of fleeing, some of these refugees are finding Christ, and we rejoice with them. So, Сергій and Наталія.
Бог знає, як правильно через свого Сина Ісуса Христа привести нас, нашу сім'ю, к покаянню, і щоб ми повірили в нашого Бога.
Numai Dumnezeu știe cum să ne aducă aici, pentru că numai prin Fiul Lui putem primi iertarea și păcatelor.
Потому что Иисус Христос принял смерть за нас, за грешников.
Pentru că Domnul Iisus a murit pentru noi, păcătoși.
Потому что Иисус Христос принял мои грехи.
Иисус
Христос. Я хочу, чтобы он принял грехи моего народа.
Иисус Христос a luat păcatele mele și vreau ca să -mi ia acum păcatele mele și păcatele întregii țări, Ucraina.
Я прошу, Господи, хочу исповедоваться во всех своих грехах. Господи, очисти меня и мою семью от всех грехов, которые твои.
Главное, как ты смакуратешься, дёрче покат.
Я в детстве росла без бабушек. К сожалению, рано они умерли. И дедушек тоже у меня не было, они далеко жили.
Я, когда я был копил, я рокуит ку буней, и, дим покате, я умерит, и мне было кам грех.
Но мы жили вместе с прадедушкой. Он был очень старенький. К сожалению, он был инвалид, он не умел ходить.
Noi, eu am locuit cu străbunii mei. Numai că el era invalid și nu putea să meargă.
Ce se понимаешь, что мы очень ошибались.
Я, мне надо прямо к грешам омали.
Я хочу попросить прощения у всех. Хочу попросить прощения даже моего мужа.
Vreau să-mi cer iertare și iertare soțului meu.
Потому что моя гордыня, я считала, что я имею право судить даже моего мужа, к сожалению.
Și din cauza мândriei mele, câteodată și judecat pe soțul meu.
Что я осуждаю тем самым и Бога.
Domnul fie cu tine, fața lui să lumineze mereu ființa ta, să-ți umple viața cu pacea sa.
The Bible verse that I have for you is from the Bible, from Psalm 90, and it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our home in all generations. We are so glad because in Timișoara you not only found a home where to sleep, but you found a home in God. And we pray that God will be your home, no matter if you are in Ukraine, in Romania, in Germany. God will be your home, and He will be your protector. And we pray that God will give you joy in this moment. I want to ask you, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you trust in Christ alone for your salvation, upon your profession, apostum down, yes. Upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Ce bucurie am în Iisus, o viață nouă e mi-a dus. Pentru vecie m-a mântuit și moștenire mi-a dăruit. Când veți cânta voi că-s fericit, Iisus pe cruce m-a mântuit. Când veți aceasta e voi cânta, te ador, Iisuse, ești a ta.
Natasha, I also want to ask you if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and if you trust Christ alone for your salvation.
Yes, I believe. Так, я верую.
Слава Домнului. Pe baza, upon your profession of faith, in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yesterday, I was just very moved. I'm sure you're moved tonight as you see the grace of God triumphing in this man's life and his wife. And we trust the Lord will bless them. My understanding is they're moving on now to Germany to try and find a little bit more settled life. We're going to sing Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there with the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Father, Lord, we call.
Would you turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? 2 Corinthians 12. This is the one night that the Reverend Baker cannot be with us, and it falls my lot to bring the word, and keeping with strength for the journey ahead, we're thinking about God's all-sufficient grace in the journey of life. And coming to this lovely passage of Scripture, we look to the Lord for his help and his wisdom, and of course his grace, the grace that we've been singing about tonight. And let's read the opening 10 verses together. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. May the Lord be pleased to bless the precious word of God to our hearts tonight. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, as we still our hearts once more before the presence of God, we draw near to your throne. We want to rejoice afresh in this grace that we've been singing about tonight. The matchless grace of God. A grace that found us. A grace that drew us to Christ. Brought us into the fold of our Saviour. A grace that brought us to the place of forgiveness and mercy and peace with God forevermore. And that grace that continues to sustain us in our Christian lives every day as we walk this scene of time. As we come to our Bible study tonight, as we think of the journey of life, we pray that you will bless your word to every heart. Thank you for those that have come, and we're thankful for those that are joining us on the internet this evening. And Lord, for those in the building and those where they are, in perhaps the confinement of their homes, we pray that thou would help us to settle into your presence and around your word just now. And speak to us, Lord. If we can just carry your word home in our hearts and meditate upon it more than just now for the time of preaching, what a blessing we believe that would be, because it's your word. And we pray for the ministry of the Spirit to apply it exactly where it's needed, that we might live by it, that we might stand by it, that the word of God might be a blessing to us and an encouragement this very night. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a text of scripture as we come to this Thursday night of the Bible conference that has been in my mind in these recent days. And as I sought and prayed about tonight's meeting, I was directed to this particular verse of scripture. It's the 9th verse where the Lord Jesus Christ says, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And when you go home tonight, if you are in the habit of reading Daily Light, which I am, and I looked it up for tonight, you will find that this verse is in Daily Light. So I believe it's in keeping with what the Lord wants me to say to you this evening. Now, there's many things that we need in the journey of life as we traverse this old sin-cursed world on our way to glory. We need God's peace, that peace that passes all understanding. We want that peace to reign in our minds and our hearts and to keep us every day in the right way. And we need God's provision, that provision that he has promised. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we need God's protection. We want that angel of the Lord to encamp round about us. Those of us that fear the Lord tonight, we want to be guarded and kept by the Lord every day. We certainly need the Lord's presence. We want the Lord to go with us. And he's promised to do that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we need the Lord's power. Power to live the Christian life. That infilling of divine might that comes from the Holy Ghost of God, so that we might live in the victory of the cross of Christ. And all these things that I've mentioned are guaranteed, and they're promised by the Lord. And we certainly need what we're going to talk about tonight. We need God's grace. My heart has been upon so many people in these days. I've been thinking about the sick of the congregation, those that have been struggling with health issues, those that have been in hospital, those that are still in hospital, those that are at home and they're recovering, and those that are passing through difficulty when it comes to these physical frames. I've been thinking about the sick of the congregation. And I've been thinking about the Arnold family today. I was in contact by text this morning with her sister Phyllis, and you know Phyllis in Hartford, and you know what they came through. It's exactly 2 years ago this very day when Matthew was tragically killed in that motorbike accident. And our hearts are with this family today, Kira as well. And to add to their problems, Phyllis was texting back to say that both of them have been diagnosed with COVID and they're just feeling rather miserable today, and we understand that. I've been thinking about the Ukrainians and all that's happening there in their land. Thinking about the little group in Poland that are anxious to get here to Ballymoney. And it's been a long process. Weeks now they've been sitting there waiting for their departure to come to Northern Ireland. And it's just taken that little bit of time. They're in a process. They've all been sent an email to say that their case is being processed. So that just means they're in the system. We're praying that the Lord will speed that up and get them here at his own appointed time. I've been thinking about the Christians that are left behind in Ukraine. That could not leave, that could not flee. And the missionaries too. And I've been thinking about the Ukrainians that we saw tonight, Sergei and Natalia, and how that they came from that background of the world and business life, knowing not the Lord. And yet through this war, through the destruction of his business and having to flee from their country, going to Timișoara in Romania, and there finding Christ and the grace of God that they still need to go on with the Lord as they take the next step to move a little further and to go into Germany. All these people have been upon my mind and my heart. This word, therefore, this word from Jesus Christ is appropriate for us to consider in our Bible conference. This word of the Savior has been the means of great encouragement to God's believing people through the centuries. In all situations of life, in fair weather and in the storm, in health and in sickness, in joy and in sorrow, on the mountaintop and in the valley experience, on the crest of the wave and also in the threatening billows, in the bright sunshine of happiness, peace and contentment, as well as in the dark night of gloom, turmoil and despondency. The great promise of this text has been an anchor to the souls of God's people for many, many centuries, ever since it was first written, ever since indeed it was first given. Because it was given by Jesus Christ to the beloved Paul the Apostle, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And this promise was given to the greatest of all the apostles, the missionary preacher, the church planter, the evangelist, the great theologian. And Paul knew in his experience of a Christian what it was to go into the heights of excellency in his Christian service and in his labours for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those days when the Lord just stepped in and gave the increase, and that was enjoyed by Paul many, many times. But he also knew the depths of adversity, when suffering and persecution came, when there was hardship and many a trial that fell his lot. And he speaks about it. He speaks about it to these Corinthians, doesn't he? You know the verses in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, and particularly verse 23 through to verse 30, where he talks about his labours and the stripes that were laid upon him, that the prison experiences that he went through, and those times when he was at death's door and death's oft, he says, speaks about the whippings that he received from the Jews. Five times he received 40 stripes, save one. It goes on in verse 25 to mention how that he was beaten by rods, he was stoned, he was three times shipwrecked, a night and a day he's been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness beside those things that are without. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, that great burden that Paul had for all the churches, like a kind of a moderator. And these people were often upon his heart, the churches that he had founded and the churches that he had not. In chapter 12, Paul is carried into the heights of celestial glory. And there he heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He is given a vision of paradise, the third heaven, which we believe to be the eternal, majestic abode of Almighty God, where God dwells in the infiniteness of his person and glory. There is no doubt that this was a mighty, mighty favour and a high honour to be given to the apostle. Such was the sacred experience of it. He didn't speak about it for over 14 years. And when he did speak about it, he mentions himself in the third person as if it wasn't him that he was speaking about. "I knew a man in Christ who was caught up to the third heaven," he says. And there's no doubt that Paul was speaking about himself. This man that he knew was indeed Paul. No other man was ever given such a revelation and brought to see and to hear such hallowed things. And there's no doubt that this was a pinnacle experience. It was an apex in Paul's Christian experience. And praise God, we're going to see something like that one day. We're going to be caught up to the third heaven. We're going to go to celestial glory. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to see him. We're going to enjoy all that he's laid up for us in time to come. Those things that Paul saw and heard that he couldn't speak about, we're going to be there, brethren and sisters. But Paul was not always on the mountaintop. No Christian is. Yes, the Lord is pleased to scatter many blessings and joys in our way as we traverse this weary life. And we thank him for those times that he brings us into excellent joy in the Christian life. However, there are tribulations and troubles and trials to encounter. Paul, despite the greatness and success of this man, had his fair share of affliction. And we've mentioned all that list that he gives there in the 11th chapter. And now as he writes to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter, he tells them about a thorn in the flesh. Whatever the nature of this problem, God allowed it for the express purpose to keep the apostle humble. He was pained. Pained by what he calls here a thorn in the flesh. And he was buffeted, he says, by a messenger of Satan. We're not exactly sure the nature of this problem. Some think it was acute bodily pain that Paul had to endure. Others think it was some kind of sickness, some malady that had struck his body. Others say it was the opposition of false brethren that caused him to speak in such language. And then there is the opinion, which I believe, that he had poor eyesight, and we're not going into that tonight, but there's at least three very strong evidences shown to us in the scripture that Paul had poor eyesight. And that's a great problem for anyone, and a great problem for a preacher indeed. Whatever it was, it grieved Paul. It grieved him exceedingly, and he brought it to the Lord. He brought it to the Lord earnestly. And if I could paraphrase what he probably said, he just said, "Lord, take it away." And that we understand. Because that's probably the first reaction that we would have. That is the natural response. That's the deep desire. When we have some problem, when we have some difficulty that creeps into our lives, we just want the Lord to take it away. Three specific times he besought the Lord about this. It's very interesting that it's three specific times that the Lord himself prayed for his cup to pass from him. And here Paul, whatever cup it is that he's called upon to drink, he's asking the Lord to take it away. And God answered his prayer. He always answers prayer. But not in the way that Paul desired. In fact, in essence, he was denied. And the Lord said no. And as you will understand tonight, no is an answer. When people come to you and they've got a question, they've got a request to make, and you say no, that's an answer. When your children come to you and they're looking for something and you're not willing to give, or you can't give what they're asking for, and you say no, that is an answer. And the Lord said no. But in the answer, he promised to grant him all the needed grace that the apostle needed to cope with this affliction. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When God does not remove our troubles, he gives us sufficient grace to carry us through. It's a great comfort to all of God's children. When we have a thorn in the flesh, whatever the nature of that thorn might be, there is grace to help. And it is all sufficient grace. It's the manifold grace of God, as Peter called it. That word manifold just simply means multiple and varied. It's the multiple grace of God, the varied grace of God. It's the unending supply of God's blessings and his benefits and his favor towards his people. It is grace upon grace. God is not stingy in the distribution of his grace and the giving out of his grace. No, he's lavish. He giveth more grace. He delights to give us abundant grace. And it brings the Lord joy and satisfaction when he does that. What is grace? Well, you know the little acrostic that is sometimes used, God's riches at Christ's expense. When you take the word grace and you look at each letter, God's riches at Christ's expense. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, he said grace signifies two things. One, the goodwill of God towards us, and that is enough to enlighten and enliven us, sufficient to strengthen and comfort us, to support our souls and to cheer up our spirits in all afflictions and distresses. And number two, the good work of God in us. The grace we receive from the fullness that is in Christ our head. And from him there shall be communicated that which is suitable and seasonable and sufficient for its members. Christ Jesus understands our case and knows our need and will proportion the remedy to our malady. and not only strengthen us, but glorify himself. His strength is made perfect in our weakness, and thus his grace is manifested and magnified. He ordains his praise out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. I don't know everything precisely that you've been passing through in recent days. I don't know what you've been called upon even in this past week since the Sabbath day that you've had to face. And I don't know what even tomorrow has in store for you. I don't even know what you're going through right now, as you said in this meeting. But this I do know. There is all sufficient grace in every situation. Whatever it is that you're passing through, there's God's all-sufficient grace. For Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. I want to think tonight, first of all, and I think it's important to think about this at the start, about saving grace. Phil was praying tonight about the grace of God, and I said he's given a wee summary of what I'm going to preach on tonight. So that all ties in with what we want to say here tonight in this meeting. But there is God's saving grace. I want to begin here, because that's where it started for you and I as believers. And at these Bible meetings that we've had this week, we have had unconverted people who have attended, and we've had those listening online, and they have been unconverted. So it's important just to remind us, when we think of the grace of God, that there is the saving grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It was the grace of God that met this hardened religious Pharisee on the Damascus Road. His heart was bent on persecution and defying Christ and his followers. Misguided zeal and unrestrained hatred drove him on in his path of rebellion and sin. And he had only one object in view, and that was to stamp out Christianity. But there on that dusty road to Damascus, Christ met him and stopped him right there in his tracks, confronted him with his sin, and by the grace of God changed his heart and saved his soul from sin. Grace is divine favor, or more correctly, it is unmerited divine favor. Something that we did not merit, something we did not earn, something we did not deserve, something that we did not do anything to receive. It's the unmerited favor of God. In fact, it's more than that, because it is undeserved favor bestowed upon those who deserve nothing but the wrath of a holy God. I'm saved by grace tonight. Grace alone. From start to finish, it's all of grace. And this is the grace that the old John Newton spoke about in his world famous hymn that we sang this evening. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. March the 21st. Is the day to be remembered by me. I have never suffered it to pass on holy notice since the year 1748. On that day the Lord sent from on high and delivered me from deep waters. So wrote John Newton in his autobiography, aptly entitled Out of the Depths. It was a memorable day when Newton came to personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. Joining his father's ship at the tender age of 11, he soon learned the ways of wickedness and sin. He fought with his father, he clashed with his employers, he was flogged for desertion, and he finally ended up in jail. But punishment did nothing to change his life, and on his release he continued with his immoral living. Eventually, by long sequences of tragic events, he found himself in one of the most despicable trades of that time, and that was slavery. What a poor, miserable, wretched sinner John Newton turned out to be. And yet it was the Lord's great plan to deliver him and to make him into something for his own great name's sake. It was the year 1748. It was the month of March. A raging storm was blowing off the northwest coast of Ireland, and Newton's ship was caught in the midst of it. The situation was so dire that the ship was likely to be broken in pieces. The fear of God, you can understand this, gripped his soul, and the thought of mercy pierced his heart. What mercy can there be for me? He thought. But nevertheless, he began to pray. And he began to pray in earnest. In a remarkable way, God answered his prayer and the storm ceased. That memorable day, as Newton later referred to it, was the 21st of March, 1749, when he was 23 years of age. He eventually went on to be a great preacher of the gospel and a winner of souls. He and William Cowper published the Olney Hymns. And probably the most famous of all was his hymn of testimony, Amazing Grace, telling the marvelous story of his transformation from spiritual blindness to spiritual sight, all through the mighty grace of God. Towards the end of his life, he often told his congregations, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." I want to ask you tonight, do you know this grace? The saving grace of God. The favor of God that saves the soul from sin and from destruction. Praise God, this grace is sufficient to save you. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how far away from God you have wandered. There is sufficient grace to cover all your sin. Because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Charles Wesley put it well in his hymn when he said, "Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing springs abound, make and keep me pure within." Have you got it tonight, dear person in this meeting? The saving grace of God. I trust that you have, and if not, that you'll come to him even now in this Bible week. I want to talk to you secondly about serving grace. The grace for service. We need grace every day to serve the living God. And we want great grace to be upon us to help us, or as we endeavour to lift up the Saviour and preach Christ to a perishing world and him crucified. We need God's favour in Christian service. Only God knows what our needs are and the supply of that need that we need every day. Paul often spoke about this kind of grace in his ministry. As Paul served the Lord, he depended upon God's grace. Think of those words in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, where he says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us." And he's speaking here about the body of Christ. He's speaking about the gifts that God has given to every member of the body of Christ to serve the living God. And how that these gifts come according to God's grace. Whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according, and so on. And he gives a list of a number of things here. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And again, Paul is speaking about the work that he was called to. He was a great master builder as he preached the gospel, as he called sinners to Christ, as he did the work that God had called him to. And remember here, he's saying, "According to the grace of God that was given to me." It's the only way that we can serve the Lord aright. I think of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and verse 10. "But by the grace of God," he says, "I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What was it that drove Paul on in Christian service? What was it that enabled him every day to do what God had called him to? The grace of Almighty God. And we think of the words also in Ephesians and the chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. This grace is given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. My friends, we need this grace every day in the Christian life to serve the living God. We need grace even to read and to understand God's word aright. We need grace to apply wisely what we read. We need grace to overcome sin and live in the victory. We need grace to defeat temptation in our lives. We need grace to obey the Lord. We need grace to be faithful to Christ. We need grace to use the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. We need grace to serve Him in the local church, in the community, in your workplace, in your school, in your university, in the ministry that God has called you to, on the mission field, like for our sister Noreen. It's good to have Noreen this evening. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are needy days in God's work. The world around us is perishing. All around us. Do you see it, dear child of God? Right here where we live, or where you live, you may not be from Ballymoney town, but right here, if you are where we live, you think of these housing areas that are all around. The world is perishing around us. There's so few that seem to care. And I apply that to my heart as well. We see that so often in the way people pray or do not pray. We see it so often in the way that people labor. Or not labor, maybe we should be putting it into the negative way. Few there are who care. And society out there is as hard as nails. And you know that. When you do take the opportunity to try and share the gospel with them, you come across such hardness in their hearts. God's work is not easy. And that's why we need this grace. Or else we can't serve the Lord the way we should. Saving grace. Serving grace. And then thirdly and finally, there's grace for suffering. It's only grace that can bring us through the very trials of life. Here in this world below, we are encompassed by many a hardship and many a heartache. And you know that only too well. I said it, was it last night? As I looked down into your faces, right across, everyone, every family, and if it's not you in the meeting, it's some loved one that you have at home, you're passing through difficult times and you're suffering in some way. Every family here has been in the valley at some time, maybe in the valley tonight. Every true believer has faced problems which we encounter in our earthly pilgrimage. There's nobody exempt. Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. And if Jesus said it, it will be so. And we've often quoted Peter, haven't we, when he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Sometimes when affliction comes and we're brought into a state of suffering, we say, this is a very strange thing that has happened. And yet Peter says, no, don't think it a strange thing whenever you're in the trial. It will come to you, dear child of God. Abraham had a family living in Sodom. You just think about that. Lot had taken his family there, living in the midst of wickedness. And even though his soul was vexed by the filthy conversation of that city and the wicked deeds that went on there, he brought his family into Sodom. And that was a great trial for Abraham, who prayed for Sodom, prayed for the sparing of that city, but particularly he had in mind his family living there. Joseph had a strange path to walk in the providence of God. And you just trace the life of Joseph from the difficulties that arose between him and his siblings. Think of how when they got him alone, they cast him into the pit. They sold him to the Ishmaelites that were passing by. He was sold on into Egypt, into the house of Potiphar. There, though successful for a time and blessed for a season, he was lied against and ended up in prison. You think of those years that passed by and all the suffering that Joseph went through. Strange providence that God called him upon to face. Hannah had a barren womb and was vexed by Peninnah. You know how she tormented this other woman because she couldn't have children. And that was a great trial, a great burden. David had a rebellious son that died without salvation. Who can think of the depths of such a trial, such suffering that any father or mother would ever have to endure, knowing that a child in the family died without the Lord? Hezekiah had sickness to face, a sickness that was so critical it was going to take him life, his life. And the prophet was sent to tell him so. We know how he wept and prayed and sought the Lord, and God stepped in a miraculous way and spared his life for another 15 years. But he had a critical illness to face. The three Hebrew children had a fiery furnace to enter. Daniel had his lion's den. There was a home in Bethany, loved by the Savior, that was visited with sickness and then with death. And Lazarus, the brother of that family, was called into such a place of illness and then death. The apostles had persecution and beatings and imprisonment to face. Peter endured the prison. Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded for his faith in Christ. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he speaks about here, and all the suffering that he mentions in chapter 11. These will be some of our experiences too. Some of these things that I've mentioned are some of the very things that you and I right now in the modern day will have to face. And maybe you are in some adverse circumstance today, this very night. All these great Bible saints, and they were great, had something in common. What was it? Suffering. But my dear Christian, they had also something else in common, and that was grace. Grace to help in their time of need. And so Christ speaks to Paul about his sufficient grace. And that's the answer. That's the answer to your suffering and mine. My grace is sufficient. Whatever it is that you're passing through this very night, whatever it is you're going to endure in a coming day, my grace is sufficient for you. There is grace for your suffering. Grace in your sickness. Grace in the struggles of life. Grace in every heartbreak that you have to encounter. Grace in every fiery trial. And yes, grace in the hour of death. Because he does give us, as Phil prayed tonight, dying grace. When we come to leave this scene of time and we face the last enemy, which is death, the Lord gives us that grace. We all need the sufficient grace of God. Every one of us. To be saved. To serve. And even to suffer. And that word sufficient means enough. It's enough. You don't need anything more. It's enough, believer. This matchless grace that God has provided for us in Christ. And the promise that Jesus gives to you and I tonight about our grace being enough and being sufficient for our every need, and he will carry us through. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for God's all-sufficient grace in the journey of life. We praise you for the grace that brings us into Christ. And Lord, many of us have been recipients of that grace. We can sing with joy these hymns tonight that have spoken about that grace that saves us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that's all we were. We were wretches in our sin and our rebellion against God. And yet the Lord stepped in powerfully, mightily into our lives. And he turned around our circumstances, and he brought us to see our need, and he showed us Christ, the remedy for our sin. His grace laid hold upon us. And Lord, there's others here tonight and listening in, and they need that saving grace. Lord, bring them tonight in this Bible conference to the Savior. May they experience God's saving grace. And then, Lord, we think of the great work that you've called us to do. And we can't do it by ourselves. We don't have the strength. We are weak of ourselves. But, Lord, you give grace to serve. And as Paul spoke so often about that grace that enabled him to serve the living Christ, Lord, it's just the same grace that we need today. Lord, give me grace as the pastor and the minister of this congregation to serve the Lord with all of my heart and to be what I ought to be for the glory of God and for the good of the church. And give to my brethren and sisters sitting here that grace also. And then, Lord, we think of the times of suffering, those difficult times that we will all endure, the trials of life that press upon us, the troubles and afflictions that come. We praise thee tonight that there's sufficient grace in such times as well. And the Lord's promise is just the same. My grace is enough. It's sufficient. Lord, we pray that that grace will carry us through. Remember our dear sick folks tonight. Remember those that are struggling with health issues. Remember, Lord, the whole situation in Ukraine and all that we mentioned at the beginning of the service tonight. And Lord, remember the family, the Arnold family. We pray for them. Lord, even this day when memories are so fresh in their mind with the passing of Matthew 2 years ago, Lord, we pray that Jesus will draw near and he will give a great supply of grace to uplift them and help them through. And all your suffering people, whatever the nature of that suffering might be, we commend them to your grace. Dismiss us with your blessing and help us to rejoice in the Lord for Christ's sake. Amen. And amen. We maybe do have the projector. I don't hear it just as loud as it normally is, but I think it's good to sing in closing this hymn that's based on our text. We sang it at the beginning of the conference, and I want to sing it tonight just as we leave, and just for the benefit of everyone, but particularly our sister Sylvia. There's three verses, two in the hymn book, but a third one that we know and want to sing. He gave us more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. Take the truth of it into your heart tonight as we sing, and take the text home with you, and may it do you good. Amen.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, send us home tonight with the triumph of divine grace reigning in our hearts. And may we know that it is enough, it is sufficient. And may we rejoice in the great supply of God's unmerited favour for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.